Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Oh my goodness me! What a fantastic goal! What a goal! That is absolutely superb! Huge cheers go up around Emirates Stadium.
Hello and welcome to the third Arsenal Weekly podcast of the 2017-18 season. I'm your host, Russell Hargreaves. Coming up on today's show, we chat to Alex Iwobi about the current crop of academy players following in his footsteps, hopefully. We also learn more about some club legends in the A to Z of Arsenal, and Adrian Clarke previews the big trip to Liverpool in the chalkboard. Let's though kick off by looking back at Saturday's tea time clash with Stoke City with our Arsenal insider.
Let's hear from another Arsenal insider on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Well, I'm delighted to say that our Arsenal insider this week is none other than the Times' brilliant Henry Winter, who joins us on the show. Henry, always appreciate it. How are you?
I'm very good, Russell. How are you?
Not too bad. A little frustrated, I have to say, having commentated on the Gunners at the weekend. A game, in one sense, they were unlucky to lose when you look at a goal that probably should have stood and maybe a penalty. But ultimately, it is a very disappointing defeat.
Well, I thought it was definitely a penalty. I thought there was Conte. You could see the reaction from the Arsenal players. They thought it was a penalty as well. I mean, Arsenal, when they go to Stoke, because of past history, and, well, a lot of people find it difficult going to the Bet365 stadium or the Old Britannia, it's not the easiest place to go to. And you know what Stoke are going to do? 23% possession, I think they had. And, they defended well. Butland showed why he'll be in the England squad this week and why he's pushing Joe Hart all the way to be England's number one. So frustrating for Arsenal that they came up against a goalkeeper in such form. But you look at Stoke's play and they look like they were set up, well, clearly to defend in depth and then try and nick one on the break, which is what they did.
They did do. And from Lacazette's point of view, we've never seen an Arsenal new arrival score back-to-back goals in the Premier League. Very close to doing so and again, frustrating.
Well, it's frustrating, but everyone said it was only marginally offside. And I heard what sort of Ian Wright said, and he was talking about sort of exactly when Giroud got involved. But it was offside. It was quite frustratingly for Arsenal fans and players and management. But the linesman, the assistant referee, got that one correct. So we criticised him enough at times. But I just think the encouraging thing was that. I mean, it was a sensational finish by Lacazette, and you transfer that into the chances that he will get in games normally with Arsenal. And he's a formidable signing. He's one of the most exciting signings that I've seen in Arsenal. I go back to when Supermac. He's just a brilliant finisher. And what I like about him, and I was slightly surprised he went off, was he can play in different positions. So if Giroud does come on, Lacazette, as he showed against Leicester, can sort of tuck in on the left and create trouble there. And he doesn't often give the ball away. He's got, obviously, as we've seen, fantastic finish to him. He seems a good all-round team-minded player. There doesn't seem any ego there. It's not about him. It's about scoring and about helping the team as well. So I think of all, there'd be some pretty good summer signings. You look at Matic and people like that. But I think Lacazette will prove absolutely right up there.
So missed chances on this particular occasion for Arsenal. Let's quickly hear from Arsene Wenger discussing at times that lack of end product.
We are very frustrated because we lost the game that we should have won, and that's terrible to swallow. We had plenty of chances on top of that, not only did we not finish, but we gave them an easy goal to score just after half-time. We knew at half-time that it was very important to keep our defensive focus in this kind of game. You come out and don't defend properly. And that's why we are not forgivable today. And at the end of the day, I believe that when you are not consequent in the way you want to play, you pay for it at that level. And at the end of the day, you have 80% possession and you lose the game away from home.
Arsene Wenger there, Henry. And lots of possession. And as you've already touched on briefly, struggling to then have maybe, I don't know, it's the width, the drive to break down a well-ordered team in front of you.
Well, Sanchez, I know there's a lot of issues going on in the background there, but on a purely football level, when you've got a player like Alexis Sanchez, who's got that constant drive, that urgency, that energy, that touch, you know, he scares defenders and he'll win free kicks and he'll get goals. Danny Welbeck is still a work in progress, and some of those one-on-ones he needs to work on. You know, as a lot of young players do in this country, although Danny's not so young anymore. Look at Marcus Rashford at Manchester United. You know, they're up Raheem Sterling. There is players still need to keep developing their one-on-one, you know, because it's absolutely key. So, but those chances will get taken, as they showed against Leicester in that sort of amazing topsy-turvy game there, and that commitment and persistence there. And I think, talking to a few Arsenal fans, that, you know, post Stoke, they almost writing that one off anyway, because they know what Stoke's like, because of the history, the Shawcross Rams, the issue, and then what Pugh will be like. They know what the team will be set up to be like. And Berahino coming on, I mean, he grew up as an Arsenal fan. His mother was obsessed with Thierry Henry. They had pictures of Thierry all over. So he was always going to want to make a point to a club he loved. So I think, you know, Arsenal just have to sort of write that one off and focus on what needs to be done, which is tightening up the defence and bringing in one or two more players and working on one-on-one.
So if we can focus then with Arsenal without the ball rather than with it, I guess one other concern has been getting a little bit overcommitted once they lose possession. We've seen that in both games so far, and obviously Liverpool in mind next up as well in that regard.
Well, the key thing is not to give the ball away. And Xhaka, I think, is a terrific midfielder. But he's got to be a little bit more careful in some of his passing. We've seen that in a couple of games. So I think, you know, that's something that they can work on the training ground, just that pure concentration, because as we know in the Premier League, it is intense all the time. There's so much pressing. Arsenal will get that probably even more at the weekend when they play Liverpool with the 5-second furies that a lot of people call it, with that constant pressing, trying to nick the ball back. So the actual retaining possession is key. I saw Mesut Ozil got a fair bit of criticism. I think Steven Gerrard made some comments on BT Sports. I mean, I have so much admiration for Ozil as a player. I've followed his career, you know, for clubs and country. And, you know, he's a wonderful player in terms of how he takes the ball forward. But I'm sure, you know, back at London Coal, they'll be working not simply with Ozil, but with all the players on tracking back and covering back, particularly at the moment. Arsenal have this issue with central defenders out, with Monreal sort of playing in there, which doesn't really suit Monreal. So the midfielders need to be even more assiduous in tracking back and covering and shielding.
And particularly for me on that front, when you've got Kolesniak also playing in the back three with two right-footed wing-backs, you then have to almost play Monreal in the middle of the three, which is even harder for him than playing on the left side of the three, if you see what I mean.
I talked to the manager back last night, and he was saying, well, he's a left-back or left-wing-back. You see when he goes forward what a force he can be. So I think he's an exciting signing. You saw in the at Wembley in the Community Shield, he's almost become like a sort of cult hero with the fans, because he's got that personality. And just watching Arsenal, listening to Arsenal, they're quite a quiet team. I know that's a sort of modern trend in the game, but I just think when you've got someone with a sort of big personality like him, like a Mertesacker, I think that's so important for Arsenal.
And leadership, clearly, but also concentration key, Henry. It's becoming a bit of a trend over the last couple of seasons that Arsenal concede goals very early in the second half, so returning after the break. I think last season, second only to Watford in that regard, and goals shipped. Is that a worry?
It's a huge worry. I think it's partly the opposition come out fired up, but Arsenal, as they know, you know, whenever Arsenal play anyone, Arsenal is such a huge scout because of the history, because of the fan base, because of the assessment, the stature of many of the players there. You know, Arsenal are a huge club around the world. So wherever they go and play in the UK, you know, the bigger clubs like Liverpool and Manchester United, it's a huge game for the opposition. So they will come out pumped up in the second half, particularly when Arsenal are on the road. So absolutely, it's something they've got to concentrate on. I mean, it's a terrible thing to do. It's completely unprofessional to be conceding goals so early in the second half, because that really is an issue of concentration.
The Times, Henry Winter joining us on the Arsenal Weekly podcast. I really appreciate your thoughts as ever. It's been great.
My pleasure.
You're listening to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Well, Alex Iwobi is certainly a player who's become a key part of the first team nucleus over the past couple of seasons at Arsenal. He's been speaking to Arsenal.com's Rob Kelly about his role in helping the current batch of academy graduates as they join the first team fold.
When you were breaking through, you had the likes of Hector Bellerin that you looked up to, obviously the Jack Wilshere as well, you know, guys that have been through exactly what you've gone through as well. Does it feel strange for you that on tour and stuff, that some of the younger lads are now looking up to you?
No, not really. Because at the end of the day, I still treat them like anyone else in the first team. I talk to them the same way. Like, we get along really well. The banter's the same. So it's not really strange. I just get on with football. It's how football is. At the end of the day, you're going to be old at some point. So that's how it is.
But you must empathise with that view. When they walk into, like, a change room, they go on tour, see all these World Cup winners and stuff around, you must know that feeling of like some of them might be quite intimidated. Do you sort of go over and try and help them out a bit and stuff with that?
It's just natural. It's something I always do. I just make it easier for them. I go talk to them, so it make them feel welcome. That they're like, we are normal people, even though they have won the World Cup, won this and that. So we are normal people. We are footballers. We'll go point to prove. So they're the same as, I don't know, not a World Cup winner, but almost the same as them, yeah.
Do you enjoy the idea that you've got a bit more of a senior role with some of these younger guys? That
do I enjoy it? I don't know if I enjoy it. I don't really notice that I'm one of the senior lads. I'm just another player, really. So I just see it like that. I don't really see myself as one of the mature lads.
Everyone's talking about Reece Nelson at the moment. We saw some brilliant skills from him on tour. We saw a fantastic goal he scored at Members Day as well that sort of went viral on Twitter as well. How highly do you rate him?
Even like last season when he was training with us, you could always see he was a special talent. He's got good feet, he's got good awareness, his technique is amazing. Yeah, he's definitely one for the future.
He also looks quite fearless. Lots of young players, when they come into the first team, they look fearless. He particularly looks like he's just going to take anybody on that he wants to.
Yeah, especially for a young player to come in and they're normally nervous. We normally have to try and introduce them and try to make it easy for them, but he straight away is calling for the ball, he's demanding the ball, he's demanding things, and he plays like he's mature, like he's comfortable playing with us, so yeah, it's good for him.
He also said to us, I don't know if you know this, he said to us that you're his inspiration. How does that feel? Because you're still a very young lad yourself.
Oh, coming from him, I didn't expect that, because the way he talks to me, you wouldn't think I'm his inspiration, but yeah, to be his inspiration, that's crazy, but he's a young lad, he's got a long way to go, and I'm sure he knows what to do.
Yeah, and how quickly after you leave the room today are you going to text Reece and ask him about that inspiration quote?
I'll let it see you for a bit. I'll see him when we meet next Friday. I'll see him and then I'll talk to him.
The A. Machado! To Z.
Or Charlie George, you can hit him. Oh, a great goal! Bergkamp has found Pires. Pires towards Henry.
Well, this week in the A to Z of Arsenal, we move on to the letter T. And T is for Thomas, right at the end. One of the most iconic moments in Arsenal and British footballing history.
A good ball by Dixon, finding Smith. For Thomas, charging through the midfield. Thomas, it's up for grabs now. Thomas, right at the end. An unbelievable climax to the league season.
Michael Thomas's goal at Anfield, giving the Gunners the 2-0 victory they needed to secure the first.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Division Championship in the most dramatic fashion. Ortiz also for another league champion, Colo Torre. After moving to the club in 2002 for just £150,000, Colo went on to become an invincible, forming a formidable centre-back partnership with Sol Campbell.
Torre. Cole. That's towards Wiltord. Torre! The equaliser for Arsenal. The man from the Ivory Coast has done it.
As mentioned, Touré was an invincible, and that team won the league at White Hart Lane against another team, North London rivals Tottenham. But that wasn't the only time the Gunners had won a championship there.
The match winner, the championship winner. An incredible finale for Arsenal, their supporters, and particularly for young Kennedy.
The Chalkboard with Adrian Clark.
So we're joined by Adrian Clark at the Chalkboard. Clarky, how's it going?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Yeah, not too bad.
A question. On the Chalkboard, when will Olivier Giroud start his first Arsenal game of the season?
Good question. I'm sure he would like to know the answer to that. I'm sure a lot of fans would as well, actually. I feel as if it's got to be close because he's contributing, isn't he? Every time he plays, came on against Leicester City, made a big difference. Came on against Stoke, OK, he didn't score. But the little flicks around the corner, there were two brilliant pieces of skill from him to open up a defence that had been very hard to open up. So, you know, I think it's close and I think there's a very good argument that he could start at Liverpool, actually, this weekend. And I say that because, A, he probably deserves it on form, but also Liverpool have a weakness in the air. If you sling the ball into the penalty box against Liverpool, they don't like it. So having a physical presence in there at Anfield would make a lot of sense to me. Lacazette's done nothing wrong. It'd be harsh to leave him out if he's left out for him, but I would be tempted to start Giroud.
That is an if, though, because there is always the option of trying to play them both. We've seen it in various halves and concerted bursts of pre-season. For me, it's not out of the question to play them both together.
No, not at all. I'd love to see them play together much more often. I'd like to see a proper front too. But what I think Arsene Wenger will do is drop Lacazette into one of the berths in behind. But the issue there is you've got Alexis, that's his specialist position, Ozil too, and a number of other players. We've got Danny Welbeck, Alex Iwobi, Aaron Ramsey potentially. So there's a lot of competition for that spot. I would imagine if Giroud starts, Lacazette might be used as an impact substitute instead.
Which at this early stage of his career is perhaps not necessarily the ideal message to set, but balance is critical.
You have to take a horses for courses approach. Yeah. And I think Liverpool don't like it when you sling balls into the box. And Giroud is who you want in there when you do that.
I covered Liverpool the opening weekend of the season against Watford. Obviously, they did tighten things up a fair bit this weekend, just gone and got the result. But certainly set-piece-wise, they were really struggling at Watford.
Yeah, no, not good at all. Now, I commentated on that game as well, actually. And yeah, they were very open from set-pieces. I'm not at all convinced by their defence. I think the back four is dodgy. So if you can get at Liverpool and get the ball, as I say, into the box, I don't have any great faith that they'll defend brilliantly. I think Stoke, for example, have a much more disciplined, settled rear guard than Liverpool. So it's just a matter of getting the right service into the area, and then I think there's definitely fragilities.
So you look at Liverpool as things stand. Sadio Mane's got a couple of goals, fit for a full season for them. They'll be desperate, no doubt. What would you say about him and someone like Mo Salah, who was a bit iffy the first half against Watford, found his straps, and I wonder if we might see far more than we saw of him in Chelsea colours. It wouldn't be hard.
No, it wouldn't be hard. No, I think Salah is going to do well this season. And he had a brilliant second half against Watford, and was OK as well in Hoffenheim. Was rested for the last game. So, yeah, look, I think Salah and Mane are massive threats to Arsenal in this game. I would imagine that he'll start both based on looking to get in behind Arsenal. I mean, you look at the way Arsenal have defended the first couple of games, especially down the channels on breakaways and turnovers. It gives me kittens thinking about it with Mane's pace, with Salah's pace, and probably Firmino in the middle rather than Sturridge to link it all together. Liverpool in a way, and I'm sad to say this, are kind of tailor-made to really get at this Arsenal defence at the moment. So the pace up top is a worry, that's for sure.
We always have the elephant in the room of Felipe Coutinho and what's going to happen there. And Liverpool's front options and quite how they play is massively dictated by him, isn't it? But I guess they're already now learning to evolve and play without, because they don't really have any other option at the moment.
I think they should sell him and strengthen the areas of the pitch that they desperately need strengthening, i.e. goalkeeper, centre-half and defensive midfielder. So, I don't think it'd be a disaster for them to sell Coutinho. And looking ahead to this game, I'm thinking of previous matches between these two at Anfield. Always entertaining, always epic. But Arsenal have not coped with the press at all well. They really haven't. They've been unsettled. They haven't passed brilliantly. They've been knocked out of their stride. And on turnovers for the last three, four seasons, Liverpool have been fabulous at punishing Arsenal. I really hope lessons have been learned. I'd like to see Arsenal go a bit longer, miss out the midfield at times, and to certainly be more prepared for that press. Because if they get caught again, the way that we've defended in the first two games, certainly there's room for improvement, then I'm nervous about it.
OK, so that's where things stand ahead of the game. Your key challenge, which you've done magnificently in weeks one and two of the new podcast form, is to give me a five-second team talk if you were Arsene Wenger ahead of Liverpool. You're in the Anfield dressing room. Take it away.
Discipline, discipline, discipline. Three words. And do not let Liverpool players run in behind you.
Adrian Clarke sums it up very adeptly again. Time now to return to the brain of Arsenal.
Brain of Arsenal.
So, brain of Arsenal, the Arsenal Weekly podcast editor, Liam Roberts, joins us on the line. Liam, how's it going?
I'm good, thanks, guys. How was the revision this week for the both of you?
Well, I've tried to up my game, Liam, because Russ had clearly taken it extremely seriously in week one and got a much-deserved win. So I have actually revised a little bit.
And I've left myself nowhere to go but down, so we will see.
Yes, you've both gone on different approaches. Adrian can only get better, but Russ, there's only one way
well,
to go
after
that.
Well, I did get three out of four right. Come on, Liam, let's not put this down as a 5 out of 10 performance. I think it was respectable. It was just, I was up against...
Beaten by the better side.
Yeah, I was up against a formidable opponent.
Take it away.
Okay, so last week, as I said, Russ won. So, Russ, you're in the lead. Do you want to go first or second answering your questions on Marco's part?
So I keep my special subject and I'm going to set the stall out and go first. Go for the jugular.
Okay, standing by then. So here are your questions on Mark Overmars, week two, starting now. What was controversial about Mark's winning goal against Sheffield United in the FA Cup fifth round win in 1999?
It was the highly controversial Kanu plays on when the ball is thrown back after an injury, passed to Overmars, didn't understand the situation at the second, scored. And then the game had to be replayed, as was very sportingly decided by Arsenal and Arsene Wenger. And then he also scored in the rearranged fixture, which Arsenal won.
All right, Russ, you've got it right. Well done.
Correct. Okay, question two. Who did Mark score his first Arsenal hat-trick against?
Middlesbrough.
Correct. Oh, that was the one I thought he might get him out of there. Question three. Who was his final game for the club against?
Galatasaray in the 2000 UEFA Cup final, which Arsenal lost, I think, 4-1 on penalties.
Correct. Again, only one point for that, but I like the detail. And your final question, where was Mark voted on Arsenal's all-time 50 greatest players list?
At the time, because it may have since dipped, I don't know, but when that poll was done, 12th.
Correct. Four out of four, I guess.
This is getting silly.
I thought I'd gone deeper this week and tried to catch him out on a couple, but he's showing the revision.
Well, you are the brain of Arsenal at the moment. That's for sure. Right. Come on in,
so,
Liam.
Adrian, no pressure. You will be answering questions on Perry Groves. Strange topic, but here we go.
See, I like Perry. It's good.
Okay, here we go. Question one. Where was Perry born?
Bow, in London.
Correct. At which club did he make his professional debut?
Colchester United.
Correct. Perry set up the winning goal in the 1987 League Cup final against Liverpool, but who scored it?
I was there. It was Champagne Charlie Nicholas.
Correct. And final question for the draw. Who did he play his last game for in his professional career?
Professional or semi-professional?
His final game. So his final game.
Well, he retired from professional football for Southampton. But then he, at 28, and he ended up at Dagenham and Redbridge, but he played one last game for Canvey Island.
Correct. Pulls it out of the bag.
Well done, sir.
Okay, so that's...
So we're 15 out of 16 so far on the new season, aren't we? Crikey.
Yeah, I'm going to call that a score draw then. So, I don't know, So, Russ, do you fancy answering questions for a third week on Mark Overmars, or should we both choose new topics this week?
I haven't been beaten on him yet, Liam. I'm going to stick with the third week of Mark Overmars, please, if I have the option.
Okay, and Adrian, would you like to continue on Perry Groves?
I'm enjoying living in a Perry Groves world at the moment, so yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so that's a point each for this week. Well, we'll be back next week for another round of Brain of Arsenal.
Surprisingly high standard. I'm sure it won't last, but two games into the season, hopefully the Gunners will do the same this weekend and try and make it win in match week 3. Liam, great stuff, and Clarkie, as ever, thank you.
Yeah, cheers.
This is the final word.
Well, the final word on this week's show belongs to the boss and to Arsenal's club captain, Per Mertesacker, as they have a go at rapid fire.
Hello, boss. Are you ready to play Emirates Rapid Fire?
This is a fight, my friend. No. If I understand.
No, it's not.
I'm ready.
Okay, let's go. First question. Who's the most skilled player you have ever worked with?
Most skilled players? I would say maybe Dennis Bergkamp. Favorite music artist of all time?
Bob Marley.
I like that answer.
What's your favorite thing to pass the time on a fly?
Reading.
What's the last book you read?
The last book I read was about physiology, and I don't remember the title. If you had to buy me a gift, what gift would it be?
Oh, my Lord. I won the World Cup while being here at Arsenal. I would give you a little World Cup, you know?
Oh, thank you very much. You're stuck on a desert island. Who would you want to be there with you? And why?
I think Peter Cech has got some idea. I don't know why, but he has always got an idea. So I hope that he will get us out of that mess. Who has the hardest shot from anyone you have managed?
Lukas Podolski.
I agree.
Do you remember your debut? How nervous were you on a scale of 1 to 10?
I would say 10. It was against Swansea.
I thought you were at 10 before Chelsea as well.
No. That was different. I think I was on 2 there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Because I haven't played for a long time. No one expected a lot from me.
Yeah?
Everyone wrote me off before.
Exactly.
So that was certainly a different situation. So that was only 2. FA Cup final. Mm. No strikers available. Do you pick me?
Yes. Every day.
Thank you very much. That was Emirates Rapid Fire.
Well, that's full time on this week's show. Our thanks to Alex Iwobi, to Adrian Clark, and of course to Henry Winter for their contributions today. We'd like to know how we're doing on the podcast, so leave us a rating and review on iTunes. You can also subscribe as well and find us on Acast these days. And remember too to get your questions into Clarkey at the Chalkboard on Twitter using the hashtag ArsenalWeekly. We're back on Bank Holiday Monday, the 28th of August, with all the reaction to that big game at Liverpool. But until then, it's bye for now.
The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.